Hello, welcome to Gentlemen Don't Get Caught, a podcast about REM.
Indeed.
I'm Lynn.
And I am Ali.
Thank you. I was wondering whether it was too late to say, like, and you are, kind of get a smooth intro. We've done this time after time.
We have indeed.
Thank you. We're on Time After Time, it's fifth track on Reckoning, which is what we're talking about tonight.
Yes.
Or whatever time of day you're listening to this.
Yes. Podcasts being a very flexible medium in terms of when you consume them.
You listen to whenever. Don't let me judge you.
Yeah.
But it is nighttime here at the moment.
It is. It is. So we're having a very late night Alan Partridge mood. Norfolk Nights. I don't know. Lynn.
Yes, hello.
You trailed in a previous episode that listeners may or may not be familiar with, depending on when they're joining us. This might be the first episode, in which case, hi.
Yeah, welcome.
To Norfolk Nights, I mean. I'm going to try and stop doing that. But yes, in that previous episode, you trailed that this was very much a favourite.
Yeah, I love this track. It's great.
Why? Why is it great? And why do you love it? I mean, presumably you love it because it's great, but why is it great?
I love the music. I love the way it feels. I love the vocals. In the past episode...
How does it feel? How does it sound? This is an interrogation.
In the past episode, they talked a bit about, like, certain phrasing.
Mm.
How, like, certain phrasing in songs sometimes, like, just really gets to me somehow in, like, an emotional kind of, like, that just feels right, like, on a really deep level, and I don't know why, and I don't know what it is, and it's weird. But I feel like this song has, like... It almost manages to, like, continue that through most of this... Most of the song.
Almost the whole thing.
Yeah, almost like the whole thing. And it just feels like it's a weird song, and it feels like soft and like moody and mellow, but also like things are just being torn apart.
Definitely. It does have a lot of things going on. How, for somebody who hasn't gotten around to listening to it yet, how would you describe the sound of it? I mean, you've started and I interrupted you, but continue.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you're much more musical than me in a sort of technical way, so I'm sure you can describe it better.
It's kind of interesting because it's quite a slow song pace-wise, definitely compared to the previous track, which is quite fast and rocky.
I'm trying to think of how to describe it as like a place.
Mm.
Like, there are certain bands that I always associate, not because of a particular lyric or whatever, but like associate with a certain...
It's
like geography.
It's funny, but because you described it as both feeling like kind of warm and safe in some ways, but at the same time kind of threatening, and there's this feeling of like tearing apart, you almost sound like you're describing the zone in Stalker.
Yeah, when there's that kind of underlying...
menace, maybe?
Kind of menace, but then also like...
This kind of...
Yeah, it sort of encases you in this kind of warm...
Kind of peacefulness.
Which
sounds like that would be a contradictory set of feelings. And yet, this song is somehow doing that. That's
Or to make another science fiction reference, since we're discussing sci-fi books, not on this podcast before we were recording, to the Nexus in Star Trek Generations.
Ah.
I do not know if you're familiar with this film.
I am not. I have... shamefully only seen the rebooted Star Trek, which makes me...
It's not that shameful.
Person.
Generations is not particularly well regarded.
No, I'd heard that. I've heard that of the original, original run of films, Wrath of Khan is like recognized as a genuinely, it's a good film.
Yes, I would say that, and Star Trek VI. The Undiscovered Country is really, really
Which
good.
Which is also very awesome for having a Hamlet reference right in the title.
Absolutely.
That's like, yeah, this may be Star Trek, but we've read some literature.
So Generations is the first Next Generation film. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. So
yes, it's the crossover one, isn't it, essentially?
It's the crossover one. So the villain, sorry to all those people that have watched Star Trek Generations, for describing this, but I'm just trying to
paint a picture,
describe the feel of this song. Yeah, so the villain wants to kind of blow up this, I think it's a star, it's been a while since I've seen it, in order to
a space doodah.
Yeah, there's a space doodah in order to move this like area of space called the Nexus
that is very nefarious.
Yes, and the reason he wants to get back into the Nexus is because there's something weird about this Nexus thing that kind of suspends you in time or whatever, and like within it, you're in like whatever your sort of perfect reality is.
Ah.
So Kirk ends up there at some point, and his is like, he's in a cabin in the woods, and he's just like chopping wood all day, and it's pretty chill, and he's like with the love of his life or whatever, I think.
Does he chop down trees and skip and jump?
I don't remember skipping jump, but I think he does chop down trees.
Sorry, I was just making a reference to the Monty Python Lumberjack sketch for no reason. It was totally inappropriate.
So you can imagine it's like that if you want. If that was your perfect reality, was just listening to the Lumberjack song anymore. That's what, it'd be like
that's
in
the Nexus would create for you.
The bad, in inverted commas, guy. Well, I suppose he's bad. He wants to like destroy a solar system.
That's pretty evil.
Yeah, he sort of describes it as like this sort of like warm feeling, like this you can't like get it out of your head. Like it's sort of addictive and comforting and like this kind of perfect thing. And yet also, of course, the premise of this is that like you can't, like it's not really healthy to like live there or be obsessed by it or
murder people to attain it, maybe.
Or murder people to attain it, exactly.
But Thanos was right. Oh, sorry, that's another thing.
Yeah, that's kind of how this song feels, I guess, is that there's like that warm kind of like comfort, but also this kind of feeling that either it's going to tear you apart or you're going to have to tear something apart because there's something like that is discomforting about it. I'm sorry, that was a very long description that I'm not even sure was entirely accurate.
I kind of think it's interesting that it's, although it's quite slow paced, it still has quite an insistent rhythm, and I think it's, I don't know whether it's technically a drone note, but it's kind of like I think it's the fact that it feels like it's holding on a note kind of contributes to that insistent quality. Weirdly, it kind of reminds me a little bit of some of the Beatles, like Indian inflected songs that they did, like vaguely reminiscent of Norwegian Wood, but not as jaunty as that. Like Norwegian Wood, I would say, is kind of a bit of this atmosphere, but with some jauntiness and some sarcasm, which this doesn't really have. But there's also some cool, like, slow kind of chord sweeps on the guitar, which I like. It's very a kind of like grand sound. And what else does it have? Oh, it has bongos. which is I don't think we've had those before.
No, I don't think we have.
Yeah, and maybe that's contributing to the slightly like atypical sound for like a rock song by a Western rock band. I like the instrumental as well.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And that kind of like that build up and the kind of the drums kind of like smashing away. It feels like the song kind of opens up from that claustrophobic, like sort of insistent, repetitive quality to kind of like, it's like a vista kind of opens up. Like you've just been going through this flat but peaceful meadow, maybe. I'm going back to the stalker imagery. And then suddenly you're like not a precipice, but kind of like you're coming over the top of a hill and you can see like a wide expanse. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of like going around my mind is it's kind of other songs that I feel like, I mean, they're later songs, I guess. I don't know whether they were inspired by this or whatever, but that similar kind of feel of sort of being warm but sort of vaguely discomforting at the same time. And now I feel like Crowded House did that kind of thing quite a lot. Like Four Seasons and One Day. And what, The National is the other thing that comes to mind.
Okay, yeah.
A band that I don't know, even though a lot of their songs are different, like I was talking about like a band or a song or something that puts you into like, this is the kind of place, like even if they don't reference explicitly.
Huh.
Like it always, all National stuff to me feels like sort of cities at night.
I can, yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm less familiar with them than you are, but certainly the Boxer album definitely feels like skulking around like New York City or somewhere very metropolitan after dark.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like a lot of that stuff feels like that.
Oh, that's making me want to go and listen to that album now. But
it's a great album.
It is very good, but yeah,
I would say still not quite as good as this song, but I'm biased.
Is there anything in the lyrics that stands out to you?
That's the girl, yeah, by the water tower's watch. Yeah, the stay if you want, the first time you can't lose, judging your work by the hour, like time after time.
Okay, the version I have here is will they judge your worth by the hour?
The worth by the hour, sorry.
Which, again, contributes to the slightly, like, menacing, like...
Yeah, and that kind of time, like, the whole repetition of it, it feels very much like that kind of all-encompassing kind of life thing, and it's that, and the girl, and staying if you want, and that kind of, like... Oh, I don't know if the first time you can't lose is, like, you know, being in, like, with someone, like, getting together with somebody, and initially it, you know, it's always going to kind of be fun the first time that you're, like, with someone, potentially, because there's no, you haven't got to the bit where there's complications.
Yeah. It's just...
consequences or anything.
It's just the fun stuff or difficult decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, definitely.
That come from being, like, in a longer term... relationship with anyone, whether that's, you know, any kind of relationship, really.
Yeah, but I guess it does imply from this context a romantic relationship, which tends to turn the intensity and the
Whole kind of and the rhythm and the sort of time after time thing. I don't know. It's life. It's growth or like failing to grow. I guess is the kind of threat of
like the friction point.
Yeah, that this just these cycles of work or relationships or things that are difficult or things that are failing, like, continues.
Yeah.
But, like, regardless of whether you... Like, no matter what you do, like, life continues.
Yeah, like, it's sort of a...
Like, for better and worse, because I don't think it's a wholly pessimistic song.
No. And certainly that, that kind of, like, bridgey kind of breakout bit that I kind of alluded to before, like, this kind of landscape, like, opening out. Is what the music evokes for me.
Yeah, it's a really like beautiful, evocative landscape. Judging worth by the hour. Sorry, this is turning into like recommendation. Actually, I don't know whether I recommended those other bands. I think I was just using, or indeed that Star Trek film.
yes, mentions of anything on this podcast are not necessarily endorsements.
Exactly. Certainly not paid ones.
Although, as we discussed very recently, everyone possibly has their price.
I haven't quite reached it yet, but we'll see.
Turnips!
It's pretty exciting when we get a turnip in our, like, vegetable box. It's pretty great. Yeah.
Makes a nice satisfying thud on the doormat.
Yeah, it does. So, an album that's been getting me through bits of this pandemic, Never Work by Arrow Shrat and Matthias Kahn with The Burning Hell, which is an album of, I don't know, late capitalist work songs? One of which is a cover, but the rest are originals.
Are any of them a finest work song?
Oh, nice. I like it. Well, I'm going to say yes, because I think it's a great album. But yeah, a lot of those are kind of about the... I don't know. It's like a mix of that sort of relentless work culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not an entirely pessimistic album. But yeah, maybe it's thematically related and a plug to get in there that you should go and check it out.
I will definitely do that.
So yeah, anyway, where was I going? sorry, I haven't really asked for your thoughts about this song, Ellie. I've just been waxing lyrical about it.
I think
it.
I've interspersed them through in between the like the ruthless interrogation of your thoughts. No, I think talking about it has made me appreciate it a bit more. It tended to be a track that was just like, you know, part of the general whole of this being a good album. Like, this wouldn't be necessarily a song that I would single out and go, yeah, oh, this is one of my favorites. But it's still really good. Yeah, I like it a lot, but possibly not enough for your taste.
You're allowed to have your own opinions, Ali. It's fine.
No, we must synthesize them. This is the Borg. No individuality. Oh, and I've called back to Star Trek. That was...
Yeah, I'm always happy with a Star Trek reference.
Space communists! They're the worst kind.
Indeed. What?
I mean, we had Lenin the other day.
Yeah, it's all fine. I mean, tying back to your other podcast.
Definitely. Yes.
This whole thing is an elaborate plug
to get more listeners for the Russia thingy.
Is that what we're calling it now?
I mean, that wouldn't be the most excellent way of plugging. I'm trying to not seem cynical by not actually just going, well, if you want to listen to that other podcast I do, it's called Rusfiles Unite Movie Podcast, and you can find it on all good podcatcher things.
Yeah, I'd say you should go and do it. It's fun.
Yeah. definitely. Thank you. And Lynn's been on it, so if
yeah, so if, all the episodes like... without me are fun. That's the caveat. Like, that's my ethics. Like, I can't plug the ones that I'm on.
I can plug those episodes for you, Lynn, because they are very excellent. And I think if I hadn't enjoyed doing those, then I definitely wouldn't have agreed to this project.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of like a very roundabout version of a compliment. But
we've talked about doing an 8-hour version of War and Peace for your podcast, and I assumed we were releasing that as a watch along, because what people really want is 8-hour podcasts.
That's definitely what they want. Yes, the number of emails I get
saying, look, Hardcore History is only 4 hours, and I'm just not satisfied.
No, exactly. Pull your finger out, Carlin.
I mean, I feel like this is maybe less of a problem if you live in a bigger country, like, for example, Russia or the United States.
Yeah, where you can drive for 8 hours. Journeys.
I mean, 8 hours is really, like, about the limit of what you can drive in the UK.
Yeah, you basically fall off the end of a cliff and are in the sea.
Yeah, I'm certain there are routes you can take that are longer, but not
yeah,
really.
But also there aren't as many of the roads where it's just, well, you're going in a straight line. It's pretty difficult to get this wrong.
No.
That there are in either of those countries.
I doubt that there is a motorway you can be on for 8 hours and not reach the end of it.
Crash into something if you just keep going.
And not end up on a road that is less motorway-esque.
Yeah.
But let's find out.
Yes.
So we're off to do that. And
bye.
We'll be back next time to talk about whatever the next track is. What is the next track? I've been so focused on this because it's great.
Your focus is second-guessing. Very admirable. Yes.
And my failing to guess what track was next was not an intentional reference
deeply,
to that.
Deeply, deeply ironic.
So yeah, we'll be back for that. Look forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so am I.
Right. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
And good night.
Turn on narrator. Toggle switch on.
GDGCpodcast@gmail.com.
Ah, no, I thought it was cool and interesting.